Thursday, May 17th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. I am coming to you from Denver, Colorado. We are here in the Mile High City. Hey, if you are tired of the same old sports talk, just a bunch of arguments and callers that yell into their phones and forget to turn their radios down and all of that kind of nonsense, you are going to like it here. We try to look at the world of sports without all of that weird emotional stuff. We just try to look at the world of sports logically. We try not to take any of it too seriously. You know, we prefer just to laugh at most of it because a lot of it is actually really funny. And we are very, very happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. Again, slowly but surely, we are making our way to the weekend and surviving another work week. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, let us know how your week is going. We would love to hear from you. You can hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or feel free to reach out to us on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a suggestion. Maybe you have some feedback for the show. Maybe you need some advice about something. Got a pressing issue in your life. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to hit us up at any of those places. Hey, we've got a lot to get to today. There are, of course, a couple of stories coming out that we do want to cover. We want to make sure that we discuss that NBA Western Conference final that took place last night between the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. And, you know, I also want to take a look at one very specific thing that is coming up this NBA offseason. We have a certain free agent that could be out there. Might want to take a look at where he could end up. And as we do on most Thursdays, we will have just a few sports media overreactions of the week because it seems like every single week we are being told some kind of odd things. And on Thursdays, we like to look a little closer at some of the stories that are being fed to us that just don't make a whole lot of sense. We'll make sure that we hit our sports overreactions of the week today on the show. Let's talk just a little bit about that NBA Western Conference playoff game last night. We saw game two between the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets take place in Houston. You know, it was a must-win game for the Houston Rockets, and they showed it in the first half. You could see they came out strong. They scored 64 points in the first half. They shot 51% in that half. They went 10 of 23 from three-point range. On the other side, you could see right away, this was not a must-win game for the Golden State Warriors. They turned it over 11 times in the first half. They were shooting just 31%. The Houston Rockets led 64 to 50 at halftime. And then you're wondering, can this continue in the second half? We know the Warriors usually have that run in them. No, it just kept on going. The Warriors look sloppy. The Rockets actually moved the ball. They actually forced Golden State to chase it. You know, we said after game one that it is not going to go well for Houston if they stand and just play isolation basketball, dribbling out the shot clock and then trying to create one-on-one. It's not going to work against Golden State. Not with the smart players that they have. And apparently, Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni, he listened to the Daily Dose because you could see the Rockets moved the ball more and it worked. You know, Houston had over 20 assists in the game last night. They spread the wealth. They had five players in double figures and they blew out the Warriors 127-105 in game two to now tie this series at one game each. Now, can Houston do this again in the Bay Area? I don't know. But they did at least get up off the canvas and do it in this game. Everyone was saying as soon as game one ended, hey, this series is over. They have no chance. No, it's not over. You make adjustments. You figure things out. And I was actually encouraged a little bit at what Houston did. It looked like they might have figured out a few things. It looked like they might have made a few adjustments. They tweaked some things defensively, and they definitely changed the way that offense looked. Now, was this a more focused Rockets team? Or was this a less focused Warriors team? Honestly, probably both. It really was. Houston looked like it was a must-win for them. Golden State did not look like it was a must-win, and they were very, very sloppy. Game three is going to be Sunday night in Oakland, and that should tell us a lot about how this series is going to go. Now, not sure how much this is actually playing nationally, and you might not even be aware of it, because it's not on any of the main media outlets, but Denver Broncos general manager John Elway gave an hour-long deposition on Tuesday to lawyers of Colin Kaepernick in the quarterback's collusion grievance that he has filed against the NFL. The deposition was held at Broncos headquarters in Dove Valley. Kaepernick attended the deposition, as did lawyers that are representing the league and the players' union. Now, Kaepernick is claiming the NFL teams are colluding to keep him from being in the NFL, in part because of his controversial protest when he was kneeling during the playing of the national anthem prior to NFL games. He said that he was protesting against what he believes is social injustice in this country. Now, he did this while he was with the San Francisco 49ers back in 2016, and he has not played since he opted out of his contract following that 2016 NFL season. Kaepernick's lawyers have also deposed Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, Baltimore Ravens general manager Ozzie Newsome, and their head coach John Harbaugh, Seattle Seahawks general manager John Schneider, and their head coach Pete Carroll, and NFL owners Stephen Ross and Bob McNair. Now, here is the interesting part about John Elway being called for this deposition in this case. Do you realize that Denver Broncos general manager John Elway is the last NFL executive who actually offered Colin Kaepernick a job? Yeah, I mean, you kind of forget that, don't you? But Elway was looking at getting Kaepernick from the 49ers in the offseason prior to the 2016 season. Remember, this was just after the Broncos had won Super Bowl 50. But they didn't get him. Why didn't they get him? Because Kaepernick nixed the deal because he didn't want to accept a pay cut. So instead, Elway didn't make the deal, and he went and he drafted Paxton Lynch in the 2016 NFL draft. Now, I have said all along, I think this is going to be very, very tough for Colin Kaepernick's lawyers to prove that the NFL owners have colluded to keep him out of the league. I'm not saying it didn't happen. It's bad for business. I think it absolutely happened. I just think it's going to be tough to prove it, because how do you prove it? It is your word against them. They say, yes, you did. They go, no, we didn't. How do you prove that they did it? Here's the problem. Elway's testimony probably isn't going to help Colin Kaepernick. Remember, Elway wanted to hire Kaepernick, but Kaepernick wanted more money. And I am pretty sure that NFL lawyers are going to point at that specific situation and say, hey, this is what soured other teams on him. Elway wanted to sign him. He said no because he didn't want to take a pay cut. And as a result, Elway didn't end up taking him. That's why we didn't take him. It had nothing to do with the kneeling. It had nothing to do with the political stuff. We tried to sign him and he wouldn't take a pay cut. So if that's the case, this is not a starting quarterback. He's not that caliber of quarterback anymore. Maybe he used to be, but he's not anymore. We were trying to sign him and he still wanted starting quarterback money. I'm not sure John Elway is going to help Colin Kaepernick's case very much. We'll see where this all goes. One more story that I do want to touch on. The national champion Alabama Crimson Tide will face the Louisville Cardinals in ABC's first Saturday night football game of the year. And then Miami will be playing LSU on Sunday night of the season opening weekend. ESPN announced yesterday Alabama versus Louisville in Orlando on September 1st. Then the next day, Miami and LSU in Arlington, Texas. It's actually going to be the third straight season that ABC will air a Sunday night game on Labor Day weekend, because the NFL season hasn't started quite yet, and so they like to get that one in there. Now, there's not that much of a reason for me to be telling you this. There really isn't, because that's a long, long ways off. But I'm going to tell you why I wanted to talk about this story today. Alabama versus Louisville, I mean, it's a solid game. I would think Alabama is going to be a big favorite in that game, but it's not a bad game. Miami versus LSU is actually a pretty good game. But again, here is why I want to talk about this story just briefly. Because I already cannot wait for college football to get here. Oh, it is such a glorious time of year. Going through these kind of matchups, looking at the schedules, looking at the different players, looking at the different upsets that could happen, the big plays that we're going to see in college football, the pageantry of college football, it is so much fun. I bring this story up because we now have 106 days until these games begin. But hey, who's counting, right? Oh yeah, that's right. I'm counting, because it is going to be a long, dry summer. And if you think for one single second that here at the Daily Dose, I am going to be spending the next 106 days talking about baseball, you must be crazy. I'm telling you right now, I will promise you right up front, we will be talking college football and NFL a lot over this summer. I will make that pledge to you because there is no way I'm talking baseball summer. We'll be previewing the backup running backs in the ACC. I don't care. I will be talking college football and the NFL the further past the NBA season we get. It is coming very, very quickly. Hey, coming back, the Cleveland Cavaliers could be in some serious trouble. They are now down 0-2 to the Boston Celtics in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, and that might not be the only bad thing going on for Cleveland right now. So the Cleveland Cavaliers are down 0-2 in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, but that isn't the only bad news that they have. They've got a few things they've got to shore up to try to get back into that series. But here is the thing that is a little more interesting to me as we look at the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. It is widely expected that LeBron James will opt out of his current deal and will be seeking a full max contract that is going to be worth around $35 million per season. If the Cavaliers go ahead and lose this to the Boston Celtics, or even if they go on to the NBA Finals and lose, there is a chance that LeBron is going to sit there and say, hey, I want to go somewhere where I can win more. We obviously couldn't come through when we needed to. This Cleveland roster isn't exactly what I'd hoped it would be. And as a result, I may be going somewhere else. Of course, we all remember the last time this happened and he announced he would be taking his talents to South Beach, right? Could we be seeing something similar to that this summer? Now, I would hope that if he does leave, he would have the sense not to do it quite like he did the last time. Remember the big interview and it was at the boys club or whatever, and he announced it like everyone would be super happy for him, and everyone looked at him and went, you're kind of a big drama idiot, but whatever. Could we be seeing something similar to 2010 when he did leave last time? It is very, very possible. Today on the Daily Dose, I want to take a look at a couple of destinations and just kind of look at the pros and cons that we could see for LeBron James if he were to go to a couple of these other franchises that are out there. Let's take a look at where LeBron James could end up this offseason. Not sure if it's going to happen, but I do think this, if they fail to win a championship this year, based off what I've seen so far, Cleveland doesn't look anywhere near a championship. I think it is very, very possible that he is going to be leaving. Let's take a look at a few options out there. First option that has to come to mind would be that Miami Heat team, right? Because remember, he does have some history in South Beach. We all remember when he went down there back in 2010 and he won, I mean, what was it? Like 7-8 titles?
LeBron, tell us about that.
Not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7.
Oh yeah, my bad, it was 2. And he lost to the Dallas Mavericks once. But could LeBron James go back to Miami? Well, here's some pros for Miami. His off-season training regimen would be a lot cheaper. You know, it's a well-publicized thing that LeBron spends, like, I don't know, a bazillion dollars on his off-season training, right? What is it exactly he's spending the money on? Yeah, I think we all know he's getting some sort of shipments from South Beach. So what I'm saying is he could save on shipping and not have to use Amazon Prime so much, because we know a lot of that stuff is coming from the Miami area, don't we? That is definitely a pro. But here is a con. Heat executive Pat Riley, it didn't all go so well when LeBron left. Like, Riley called him like a quitter and maybe, I don't know, like a sissy lala when he left Miami after that run. Riles has tried to smooth that thing out, but LeBron probably still holds a grudge against Pat Riley. I'm going to say no to Miami. I don't think that's going to happen. Here's another team where LeBron could end up. If you can't beat him, join him. What if LeBron took a minimum contract and went and joined the Golden State Warriors? I mean, LeBron could be a part of one of the greatest starting fives in NBA history if he did go join the Warriors. We heard a little bit about this a few months ago. What would be the pros of joining the Golden State Warriors? I think the obvious one, he could win a title or two. That would be a big pro. Here's the con. I do think LeBron kind of likes the idea of dragging a bad team to new heights. And this would not be that. Like, this would be the opposite of that. This would also be kind of LeBron admitting defeat. Like, I couldn't beat them, so I'm just going to join up with them. And to be fair, the Warriors don't really need him. They don't need that ISO ball style anyways. And like, I'm sure they could use him. Like, you wouldn't just bench him, but Golden State's doing just fine without him. So I'm not sure that's going to work either. I'm going to say no to Golden State. Next team up, the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, say what you will about LeBron James, and God knows I have, but you would have to give him some credit if he actually took the Clippers to a championship. In fact, I'm not even sure science would allow that to happen. But if he did it, no, you'd have to kind of tip your hat to him, wouldn't you? Here is a pro for the Clippers. The Clippers do have Jerry West, who we all know is probably the smartest man in all of professional basketball. And there is also that underdog factor that I think LeBron genuinely likes. I'm going to take a team of nobodies and transform them into a contender. I think that's a definite pro. Here's the con. The Clippers are going to be underdogs, well, mostly because they're awful. Yes, they do have 80-year-old executive Jerry West in the building. And that's very good news. We talked about that. He's probably the smartest guy in all of pro basketball. Here's the bad news. Jerry West is also probably the best player in that building. So I'm not sure that LeBron wants to go there. Like, you want to talk about a cupboard being pretty bare? Yeah, the Clippers is going to be pretty bare. That might not be the best pick. Another team that's out there in LA would have to be the Los Angeles Lakers. There has been a lot of talk that LeBron James could revive the Lakers franchise. It has been struggling now for a few years. LeBron does have a house in LA. I believe his kids go to school in LA. Would he head out to LA and go with the Lakers instead of the Clippers? Here's a pro. You win with the Los Angeles Lakers. And it's a little bit different than anywhere else, right? The Lakers have that tradition. And LeBron could be the guy that would kickstart a new era in Lakers history. Now, here is a con. Is the Lakers roster really that different from what he has in Cleveland right now? Actually, the Lakers might not be as good as what Cleveland has right now. LeBron has right now Kevin Love, Kyle Korver, George Hill. In LA, he would have Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, and Brandon Ingram. Now, we will see what Julius Randle does in free agency. But when you look at those two rosters, the Lakers might eventually be a better team. But I don't think they're more talented right now because those guys are still learning. They're still so young. Plus, here is another con. And this goes for all the teams in the West. The Los Angeles Lakers play in the West. I don't think LeBron James wants much to do with that Western Conference. He doesn't do so well going against the West, let alone if he had to do it throughout the entire playoffs. We know his record in the finals hasn't been great against the West. I can't imagine what it would be if he had to do it during the whole postseason. That might be a con against the Lakers. Now, speaking of another Western Conference team, could LeBron James join the San Antonio Spurs? We know that it seems like every year we kind of count the Spurs out, and they just keep finding ways to compete in different eras again and again. Like, we remember when it was David Robinson, and then he left. We said, well, that'll be the end of them. And then it was Tim Duncan, and then he left. And we said, well, that's the end of them. And then it was Kawhi Leonard. And now we're not sure what Kawhi is going to do, and we're saying, well, maybe that's the end of that. Could LeBron start another run in San Antonio? Here is a pro for that. LeBron James seems to have a pretty good relationship with Spurs head coach Greg Popovich. They seem to be pretty close. The Spurs might have a few holes to fill, depending on what happens with Kawhi Leonard, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker. That could fit that style that LeBron likes. He could come in there and kind of mold a team. Here is a con. Again, the Spurs are in the West. And also, I'm not exactly sure that LeBron would fit in with the Spurs. San Antonio players don't really operate that way. I think there is a genuine mutual respect between Greg Popovich and LeBron James. But I'm not sure LeBron James fits into the Spurs' way of doing things. Like, the Spurs don't do much talking. There's not a lot of posturing. There's not a lot of grandeur around the Spurs. All that drama kind of stuff LeBron really likes. So I'm not sure if that makes him a good fit for the Spurs. Here's another team that's out there. Another team that has to be considered would be the New York Knicks, because the New York Knicks are desperate to breathe any sort of life into their mess of a franchise. And if LeBron revived the Knicks, it would be very similar to him doing something with the Los Angeles Clippers. I mean, that's a pretty big resume builder. Win in New York? Win in the Garden? Win with the Knicks? No, that'd be nothing less than impressive. Here is a pro for LeBron going to New York. it seems that he's also got a very close relationship with newly named head coach David Fizdale. And he would get to stay in the East and beat up on the East, which we know he likes to do. Here is a con. The Knicks actually have a worse roster than the Lakers and the Clippers. Is there any chance that, I don't know, maybe LeBron could get a few friends to join him in New York? I don't know. Do you go get who? Carmelo? Paul George? I have no idea. If Kristaps Porzingis comes back healthy, maybe that's a little more tempting, but this Knicks roster, it's bad. It's really bad. I can't see him going to the Knicks. He would have to get two or three like franchise type players to go with him. And I don't know if anyone wants to go to New York that badly. I'm not sure I'm buying the Knicks. I'll give you one more team out West that we at least have to consider as a possibility. If there is one team that could have a realistic chance, I think it would be the Houston Rockets. They already have banana boat chum Chris Paul. Could LeBron James head to Texas and make another super team down there with Chris Paul and James Harden? Here's the pro. Maybe the Houston Rockets could actually beat the Golden State Warriors in 7 games. We know that they play that non-moving isolation style that LeBron likes. I think that would be a pro. Here's the con. I'm not completely sold on the idea that LeBron James wants other guys getting credit. For all of the talk about how depleted LeBron's rosters always seem to be, he's been the guy that's handpicked them. Remember, he wanted Kevin Love. He wanted J.R. Smith. He wanted Tristan Thompson. You know, he did not like the fact that Kyrie Irving gets the credit for the biggest shot made in Cleveland Cavaliers history. I'm not sure, and I could be wrong, I'm not sure that LeBron James ever passed the plays well with others back in grade school. Remember when you got your report card? And they'd be like, okay, yeah, he does his homework, or maybe he is nice to the other kids, or plays well with others. I think a lot of times everybody went, he got a U on that one. He got an unsatisfactory. Because LeBron James, you don't see a lot of camaraderie with his teammates. You don't see a lot of guys just willing to fight and die for LeBron James. You just don't see it. You don't see teammates get better that play with him. In fact, a lot of times it goes the other way. I'm not sure LeBron James would be all that content in Houston playing with those other guys, because James Harden's going to get the credit on a lot of nights. Chris Paul is going to get the credit on a lot of nights. I don't know if LeBron likes that. And I'm just being honest. I don't know if he likes that. I've got two more teams for you here. The Philadelphia 76ers, because the Sixers have a nice young cast of players, but you could see when they had to face Boston over in those Eastern Conference playoffs, yeah, they are short a superstar, at least right now. Maybe LeBron James could go to Philadelphia, mentor Ben Simmons, mentor Joel Embiid, and kind of change Philly from a pretty nice, solid team to a legitimate contender in the East. Now, there are some pros for LeBron going to Philadelphia. That's a talented young team. He would get to stay in the East. Yeah, this one actually makes some sense. Here are some cons. And this is not for LeBron. This is a con for the Sixers. LeBron James, he's kind of past that practicing hard every single day of his career. Like, he's kind of past that stage. He has always kind of had the mentality of playing hard when he wants to. Game one against Boston? Nah, I don't really feel like it. Tuesday night in game two? Oh yeah, I'm all in. Like, I'm going to come out and just dominate. Now, that and the practicing every day thing, that might not be the greatest lesson for a young, impressionable team, but I do think LeBron James to Philadelphia makes a lot of sense. I don't know if it would be great for those players in the long run, but I do think it makes a lot of sense. Final team that you'd have to put out there has got to be where he's at. Could LeBron James end up staying in Cleveland? I'm not sure if you've ever heard this, and you probably haven't. It hasn't been publicized that much, apparently. But here's a little news item that you might want to keep in mind. Again, nobody's ever really talked about this, but apparently LeBron James is from Ohio.
What?
I know, like, who knew, right? So what are the pros about him staying in Cleveland? Well, he wouldn't have to face the whole decision two thing. You know, he didn't like it when Cleveland fans were going outside burning his jersey. I don't think it would be as bad as that this time, but I do think there would be some bitter fans. He gets to stay in the East if he just stays in Cleveland. Hey, Cleveland is basically his home, right?
That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
Here are the cons for LeBron James staying in Cleveland. Have you ever heard the phrase, well, you made your bed, now you lie in it? that is kind of the story right now of LeBron James in Cleveland. Many people might say the current roster is a bit of a mess, except that he's had a lot to do with the assembly of the roster. I know he doesn't like owner Dan Gilbert, but to be fair, Dan Gilbert has given him almost everything he's ever wanted. Not every other owner would do that. There might be worse things in the world than LeBron just staying where he's at in Cleveland. I don't know if he will, especially if Cleveland goes out like they look like they're going to, but it might be the best move for him. You know, the more I look at this situation, the more I think this could be a two-team race between Philadelphia and Cleveland. And the Philadelphia 76ers might be the move that makes the most sense. Would LeBron James do it to Cleveland again? I don't know, but it's going to be really fun to watch this offseason. Hey, coming back, we don't have quite as many today, but we will take a look at some of the biggest overreactions of the week by the sports media. We've got a couple things coming out in the NFL, and of course, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers have been very popular this week. We'll get to those when we get back. Just a quick reminder that if you've got any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme is called Role Models. It's got items from Arrested Development, Archer, Deadpool, and The Punisher. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box and you're going to get 10% off of your order. Just kind of our way of saying thank you for listening to The Daily Dose. Thank you for shopping at Loot Crate. And if you heard those franchises and they didn't interest you, don't worry. Trust me, go over to Loot Crate. You are going to find a number of other franchises that are out there. They have pretty much anything you can think of over at lootcrate.com. So make sure that you stop by there. Now, as we do on most Thursdays, we like to take a look around the sports world and see what silly overreactions they might be jamming down our throat. Because it always seems like the sports media world is trying to get us to click on a story, trying to get us to buy a certain story or to look at a certain story or to watch a certain program. And they lead with something that you look at and go, well, that doesn't even make any sense.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
And then when you see the story, you go, oh, yeah, that didn't make any sense. But they got me to click on it. Oh, it makes me mad. First thing, coming out in the NFL, there was a lot of talk about Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger not being all that pleased that the Steelers went and drafted Oklahoma State quarterback Mason Rudolph. And then, after he kind of took some grief about complaining that they drafted a quarterback, the news came out, well, actually, Big Ben did text Mason Rudolph and kind of welcome him to the team. All this stuff is just trivial nonsense. First thing, at what point is it okay for a team to draft a quarterback? Like, when their current quarterback is like 50? You have to wait till they get like 60. Like, when can you draft a quarterback? Is it ever acceptable? Should you never draft a quarterback for the future? I don't know when that law kind of came into being. Because for years, you just took the best player. If there's a good quarterback available, you just took him. Now it's like, well, you don't want to take a quarterback if you already have a franchise quarterback, because the franchise quarterback will really get his feelings hurt. I don't know when that started. It's kind of an ugly look. But, like, I think we can all agree that Ben Roethlisberger is probably like a self-absorbed jerk, right? But here's the question that I have, and I'm not trying to defend him, but how many other players went out and texted the draft pick that is going to replace them? Do we know that? Because this is the only one we heard about. Like, the media threw this one out to us like it was news. Hey, Big Ben text Mason Rudolph. I don't care. Like, did Shane Ray text Bradley Chubb? No idea. Did Joe Flacco text Lamar Jackson? No idea. And you know what? I don't care. This is a competitive league. These guys are trying to get your job. Mason Rudolph is coming and hoping that eventually he can take over for Ben Roethlisberger. I'm sure Ben doesn't like it. I don't care. I'm sure Mason wants his job. I don't care. This isn't a story. Moving forward. One of the big stories coming out last week in the NFL on one of the big networks was that with the draft picks and moves that they have made, the Cleveland Browns are going to go from being 0-16 to being wild card contenders. I'm not joking. You can find this story. I know we want to get excited about Cleveland. I know that we're hoping the Browns got better. Hey, they went and they get Baker Mayfield. They had a number of picks in the draft. They filled out a couple spots. They went and got a veteran quarterback. The Cleveland Browns have made some decent moves. But let's understand one thing. all the moves that they made, just make them like a competitive team. It doesn't mean they're going to the playoffs. That is still a roster that has so many holes, I can't even begin to name them all. And let's start with just the one big one. Don't forget that for all of the great moves they've made, and first off, we don't even know if these moves are great. Like, we're just guessing. We're just kind of hoping. But for all of the moves that the Cleveland Browns have made, they also had this one big move. Starting left tackle, Joe Thomas, retired. Never forget that. Because as much as we can sit there and act like, hey, the Browns really shored up their roster, they lost a guy that is somehow probably going to end up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They lost him. You lost a Hall of Famer at left tackle, and now you're going to have possibly a young quarterback or possibly a veteran quarterback that has struggled at times taking snaps with a brand new left tackle. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to go fine. No, you guys are definitely a playoff contender. Can we stop? Stop trying to get us to click on silly things. The Browns are going to go from 0-16 to the playoffs. I don't think they are. They're still going to be probably a pretty bad football team for a few years. Hey, I'm hoping they get better again. You might hear this and maybe you think, well, hey, he's in Denver. He must hate the Browns. Here in Denver, we don't hate the Cleveland Browns. They hate us. It's not, like, we don't feel anything for the Cleveland Browns. Like, I don't know, they're kind of plugging away. Hopefully they get some things figured out. We don't hate them. There's no animosity on this end. They hate us for what John Elway did to them. Final thing that we're going to discuss this week in our overreactions of the week is in the NBA. And again, I hate to stay with Cleveland. Feels like a lot of this show has been about Cleveland. But there is a hot take out there right now that in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, the Cleveland Cavaliers are collapsing. And that's not really true. It really isn't. Because at the end of the day, Cleveland is just showing who they really are. The Cleveland Cavaliers are who we thought they were.
But they are who we thought they were.
You know the biggest question that we had about this team coming into the playoffs? Will they play hard defensively? Will they execute anything on offense? And will anyone else step up? Well, against the Pacers, we saw all those things kind of out there, but the Pacers weren't good enough to do anything about it. And then against the Raptors, we saw all those same questions kind of out there, but the Raptors weren't good enough to do anything about it. And as a result, we saw LeBron James just going off, and we're sitting there going, oh man, LeBron is just carrying this team. LeBron is just dragging this team all the way. They're going to go clear to the finals again. And now against Boston, we're seeing these same ugly traits rear their head again. We're seeing them not hustle on defense. We're seeing them lose their man completely on defense. We're seeing them not even give much effort defensively. We're seeing bad shot selection. We're seeing no movement at the offensive end. And then everyone goes, man, what's going on with Cleveland? Why are they collapsing? What happened? Nothing happened. That is who they are. But they play in the East, so no one has been able to take advantage of it. Right now, the Boston Celtics are taking advantage of it. And the Boston Celtics could be that team that is good enough to say, hey, we can show all of your flaws. In game two, you could see those flaws. The Cleveland Cavaliers didn't play very hard. They don't defend anyone. And they don't even get back and transition defense. The Boston Celtics are showing that. This isn't a matter of Cleveland changing anything. This is just a matter of a team that is good enough to show everyone, hey, this is what Cleveland does. This is how they play. And this is how they have played all year. Hey, tomorrow is Friday. And of course, we will be looking at the latest and greatest in the world of sports news and the latest sports stories. We will, of course, have our weekend preview. Yes, starting to get lighter as we get into these weekends. As we get closer and closer to the summer, those weekend previews are getting a little bit lighter, aren't they? But we will also have our weekly Daily Dose Top 5, and you never know which way that's going to go. You got to make sure that you tune in for that. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions, the suggestions. Thank you all for sharing the show. It is all very, very appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.